countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, last week, independent MEP for Midlands North West, Marion Harkin, announced that she won't be seeking re-election to the European Parliament in next month's election. A former TD, she has served as an MEP for three terms, stretching back to 2004. And Marion Harkin joins me in studio. Marion, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. And to your listeners.
And thanks very much for joining us. I know you've had a really busy week. So you're decided not to go again. Why have you decided not to run?
It was a very difficult decision. I absolutely love what I do, and I can see the impact that, as an MEP, the impact you can make in so many different ways. But I suppose if I was to try and put it in one sentence, Damien, it's 15 years, 15 counties. And it's the travel, both over and back to Brussels every week, and then within the constituency. Mm. Now, I'm not complaining. That's part of the job. It's what you do. But it really takes it out of you.
Does it take a physical toll?
It does. And my job is, as a legislator, amending reports, trying to see that the legislation we pass is fit for purpose for Ireland, it's proportionate, and that it's good legislation. Mm. And that's the work I do. That's the work of an MEP. A lot of people mightn't think that, but that's our work.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if that legislation doesn't relate to what's happening on the ground in your constituency, and if people can't see the benefit of it, then you're wasting your time. So it's to connect those two things. And I just love it. I'm passionate about it. But it takes its toll.
Yeah. I mean, how grueling is it, Marion? Give me, a typical week. Because you when you land in Dublin, you still have 3 hours to go to Sligo.
That's true, yes. I mean, Strasbourg next week, it's coming up.
So take me through the next 7 days.
I will have to go to Dublin on Sunday night because I have to be on an early flight because there's a group meeting in Strasbourg. I have to be there for at 3 o'clock. If there's a specific item on the agenda that I must attend
for. And there's no direct flight from Dublin to Strasbourg, am I right?
I fly to Frankfurt, and then there's either a 2.5 to 3.5 bus journey, hour bus journey, depending on traffic, and you're finally in Strasbourg. And as I said, you have to travel to Dublin and fly out the next day. And then coming back, it's something similar. And when you get into Dublin, you travel to Sligo. But again, Damien, I'm not complaining about that.
No, it's a well-paid job, of course.
It is, and that's my job. And I have been privileged and honoured to do it because when people vote for you, they say to themselves, I am going to trust that person to represent me. And that's a huge honour and a huge responsibility.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that earlier on in relation to the EU and the role of the MEP. A lot of people have this attitude that it's a gravy train and sure, what do they do and what does Europe ever do? And I was just thinking of it that would you say that Europe has been very kind to rural Ireland? When you think about the amount of cap money that flows in there, cohesive funds, remember Albert Reynolds and the 7 billion?
That's right.
Leader, and a whole host of other maybe unseen elements, like the single market has allowed people move here, work here in the service industry, for example. Do you think that there's a lot that rural Ireland has benefited from more so than maybe anywhere else by being a member of Europe?
Well, kind wouldn't be a word I'd use. I mean, at its essence, the EU is a single market. It's business. But of course, it's more than that. It's about the free movement of people as well. But getting to your point on rural Ireland and its economy, there is no doubt that the single farm payment, the leader programmes and other programmes have made a difference. And before that, the regional funds for infrastructure, etc. But remember, there are pluses and minuses. Irish farmers have to produce safe, quality, traceable food. There are huge, if you like, responsibilities, restrictions on them. But that's the price they pay. But then the benefit is they have access to a market of 500 million people tariff-free. And through the EU, they will and are able to access other markets through trade deals, etc.
And they're facing big challenges, as you know.
They are. And I was listening to Thomas Duffy, and can I congratulate him? I know Thomas and I know his mother, Kathleen, even better. You talk about rural Ireland. If you were to find somebody who epitomises the very best of rural Ireland and community, it's Kathleen. And you know, I can say that because I'll not be going to Cavan again looking for a vote. So I'm not saying that from the perspective of looking for a vote.
I know you're genuine.
I'm saying it because it's true, and I've known Kathleen for many years. But I've forgotten the question.
No, I was saying about the challenges that are facing farmers, and a lot of them in your constituency.
Yes, and
do they say this to you, that they're...
To Thomas there about the whole climate change issue, and there's no doubt that more and more emphasis will be placed on public goods under cap, etc. And I was very taken with what he said. Thomas talked about a just transition. And we talk about that when we talk about fossil fuels to renewable energy. But we need to talk about it in farming as well, in agriculture, so that we find ways and means. Because we have to produce food, we produce it in this country. If we don't produce it, it will be produced somewhere else. And our job is to do that in the most environmentally friendly way. It is a challenge, but I'll put it this way, Damien. I'm sitting here in your studio. I flew in from Europe this week. I flew out. Next week, I'll do the same. You know, so we all contribute. So while we are making the point about what agriculture needs to do, and it has a job of work to do, we also need to look to ourselves as well.
Yeah, well, the argument is that while we have all these obligations, at the same time, it should not overlook the huge financial contribution that tourism and farming makes to rural Ireland. And we are an island nation. There's only really two ways to get here, and that's by boat or by aeroplane, and that's always going to continue. But it's a balance, a delicate balancing act that we just have to get right, because we have obligations on the climate change end of things, but we also have obligations to the hundreds of thousands of people living in rural Ireland that depend on a good tourism sector and good agriculture.
And not, of course, just farmers, but communities, as we all know, because we wouldn't have the small towns, the villages, if we didn't have the farmers.
And you know that better than anybody from the constituency you represent. I just want to go back to Brussels and to Europe. Is the Parliament, or is the EU project, as it's called, is it stronger or weaker now from when you went in there?
That's a difficult question, because at one level it seems to be weaker because with Brexit, but Brexit is a funny animal in a way, because there were quite a number of parties across Europe that would be seen as right-wing nationalist parties, and they were always viewed as anti-EU, us out basically. But it's amazing, in the last couple of months they have toned that down completely, and some of them have taken it out of their manifestos. Sweden, some of the northern countries, similarly Salvini in Italy, and even Le Pen to some extent, they now say they want to be part of Europe, but they want to move it in a different direction. So it's interesting that somebody described Brexit yesterday sort of like a vaccination for other countries, that they see the impact of this disease, as it were, and they want to make sure they don't catch it.
And I think that suits Brussels, because they didn't want it to be an easy leave for them, and they couldn't be anyway, because they're looking after one member state more than others, and that's us, obviously, because of the physical and political connection we have with the UK. So if it was made look easy, you might have an appetite in some of the other countries like Hungary and Poland, for example, to maybe follow suit, but that's not going to happen.
But I suppose just to finish the answer, I mean, one area where I am absolutely committed to and passionate about is the whole area of social Europe. My main committee for the past two terms has been employment and social affairs. I've also been on economic affairs and on agriculture last term. But this term, we have finally got our act together on social Europe. You won't read about it in the papers because, of course, good legislation is not good news. Bad legislation is, as it were. And we have our share of both, Damien.
Yeah.
I'm not. But just talking briefly about the social legislation, we now have legislation around transparent and predictable working conditions. Let's say, especially for those in the gig economy, we have same pay for same work in the same place. And while people mightn't think much of that and say, well, we always had that, really. Actually, we didn't. If a company sent workers here, let's say on a tender, they could pay them minimum rates and construction, whatever. And we heard phrases like race to the bottom, etc. All of that is now changed. And whatever the sectoral arrangements are, people from other countries will have to be paid that. So that's good for those workers, but equally, it's good for Irish workers. So we have a lot of changes in social Europe that are positive changes. And I'm really pleased about that. And certainly, I played my role.
Right, very good. And I'd love to talk to you more about, the direction of politics in Europe. There's an unholy alliance between the hard left and the hard right that they actually find themselves with an awful lot in common. And maybe the middle ground is getting swallowed up. But what are you going to do with yourself now, Marion? Will you run for the Dáil again? Or are you just going to park politics for good now and enjoy retirement?
Well, I don't think I'd park politics, but there's politics with a capital P and politics with a small p. And sometimes when we talk about democracy, we only think about representative. Somebody ticks the box, 1, 2, 3. But there's also participative. By participating, you affect change. That's where I came from, the community voluntary sector. And certainly a lot of my work at European level was in promoting that sector and in trying to build it up. So I have made no decisions. I'm going to think about it. I'm an MEP until the 1st of July. I'm busy until then. But I have made no decisions, Damien, as to what I'm going to do. I think politics, as many politicians will tell you, probably gets into your blood. And because you recognise, above all else, that as a politician, and I can speak, I suppose, more about the European Parliament than the law, from my experience, you have an opportunity to affect change and to move things in a certain direction. And that's, you know, that's a pretty powerful thing to be able to do. And it also means, as I said earlier, that people trust you. It's a big responsibility, but I think it sort of gets into your bloodstream. So the answer genuinely is, I don't know what I'm going to do.
All right. Well, watch this space, as they say. Marion Harkin, it's a great pleasure to have you in the studio with us this morning. We can let you head back now to Sligo for a little bit of rest before you're off on the road again next week. Thank you very much for joining us.